Today on Jay Sekyo Live, a big question. Is there any room left for pro-life voters in the Democrat Party? We'll talk about it today on Jay Sekyo Live in light of Senator Amy Klobuchar's comments on the campaign trail.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Well, first I say this, I am strongly pro-choice. I have always been pro-choice, but I believe we're a big tent party, and there are pro-life Democrats, and they are part of our party.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
I think we need to build a big tent. I think we need to bring people in instead of shutting them out. And that also includes independents right here in New Hampshire, as well as moderate Republicans.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
So you heard those remarks from Senator Amy Klobuchar. She's coming off this surprise third-place finish, which we predicted on Jay Sekulow Live, that it would be... again, it would be Bernie Sanders, Mayor Pete, that got pretty close, Amy Klobuchar, and then a big distance between number four and five, Elizabeth Warren, and then again, very disappointing for her. I mean, I almost thought she was going to drop out that night, the way her speech was going, and then start focusing more on harassing the president and the attorney general in the U.S. Senate, and go back to that. And then, of course, Joe Biden, who's trying to take this defiant road of, I'm going to win South Carolina. Well, that's not really how things are looking for him. We'll get into more of that in the later of the broadcast. But the question for you today is, do you agree with Amy Klobuchar that there is any room in the Democrat Party for pro-life candidates? And I say this because, remember, it's the Louisiana governor is pro-life, and he is fighting that case in the Supreme Court to make abortion clinics meet ambulatory care standards. And he, Than, has received unbelievable amount of criticism from the Democrat Party, and they've basically excluded him from being a normal member of the DNC.
Yeah, and I would say, Jordan, I mean, first of all, Amy Klobuchar is clearly wrong on this issue overall. I mean, she opens that statement by saying that she's strongly pro-choice, but of course she's right on the political question of whether or not pro-life Democrats, Jordan, should be allowed in the party. But I'm going to make a prediction for you here, and this saddens me to say it, because this should not be the case. But, Jordan, I think this is the kiss of political death for Amy Klobuchar inside the Democrat Party. I just look at comments made by Andrew Yang and how he was cast aside after those comments. I look at the United States House of Representatives, where you really only have two members that can be counted as even some semblance of pro-life in the United States House. Jordan, get this. The high watermark in the United States House of Representatives is when it comes to the infanticide bill, the born alive bill, and whether or not a baby should be provided care. Not if it's an abortion, Jordan, but if they're alive and on the table. That gets three Democrats in the United States House. Ben McAdams joins Colin Peterson and Dan Lipinski, even though he has a very bad record once you get past that. So long way to say this, Jordan, I don't think there probably is room for someone like Amy Klobuchar inside the Democrat Party anymore. It just has gone that far.
I mean, when you look at it, you look at the platform of the Democrat Party, and then we'll play for you let's play for it now. Let's play. This is Bernie Sanders. He's the front runner. Okay. Amy Klobuchar came in a surprise third in one primary. Bernie Sanders has been doing well across the board. This is what he had to say about pro-life Democrats being in the Democrat Party. Basically, no room for you.
Is there such a thing as a pro-life Democrat in your vision of the party?
I think being pro-choice is an absolutely essential part of being a Democrat. If you're asking me, and I think I may be wrong on this, I think in the Senate, probably 95% of the Democrats are pro-choice. You have a few who are not. In the House, maybe even a higher percentage. So that's kind of what my view is. I think by this time in history, I think when we talk about what a Democrat is, I think being pro-choice is essentially an essential part of that.
So, I mean, that's very two conflicting statements, Stans, as we finish out. I want to take your phone calls on this, 1-800-684-3110. Is there any room for pro-life Democrats anymore in the Democrat Party? And do they exist, really? Because Bernie Sanders said to be pro-choice is essential to being a Democrat. Amy Klobuchar say, well, I'm pro-choice, but there is room for you. We'll take your calls, 1-800-684-3110.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Problem with being a pro-life Democrat. Look at the Democrat Party's own platform language that they adopted in 2016 about abortion. And it says, we will continue to stand up to Republican efforts, so very partisan, to defund Planned Parenthood health centers. We want to repeal the Hyde Amendment, which pays for abortions overseas. Use your federal taxpayer dollars to pay for abortions overseas. And it goes on to say, again, unequivocally support a woman's decision to have an abortion. And they want to create a society where children are safe, can thrive, and they support the, they want less abortions, all of that. But at the end of the day, they seek to overturn federal and state laws and policies that impede a woman's access to abortion. Does it give a lot of space, then, when you look at their party platform, to be... if you're truly pro-life, to vote Democrat, if that's like an issue that if you believe it's a life or death issue, and so that's probably your top issue, we know that is a top issue for a lot of our listeners. It's kind of a make or break issue. And then they'll go from there in choosing the candidates they like best. But if that's kind of like the starting point is being pro-life, if you are and you look at the platform, yeah, you can hear it from Amy Klobuchar, but it's unlikely she's going to probably be the nominee.
Yeah, Jordan, this platform is incredibly hostile to life. I mean, as I read through it, it's three paragraphs long, and the first two paragraphs go through a litany of ways that they support abortion. And it's not just right to abortion, Jordan. You referenced the repeal of the Hyde Amendment. That would basically be saying we want to force every single American not only to have access to abortion, but to pay for my abortion. So, Jordan, it really is an extreme position. But then in the last paragraph of this platform, they do kind of include some afterthought language about supporting a woman's decision to have a child. And Jordan, the way this platform is articulated, it is essentially what you just heard Amy Klobuchar say. She was essentially reciting this very poor, very hostile to life platform inside the Democrat Party. But I would submit to you that even that recitation, even essentially standing on this very poor anti-life platform, I think that's going to get her expunged essentially from the race. I really do. I mean, I think this happened to Andrew Yang, and I think you will see her fizzle out very soon. And Jordan, I don't think there's a disconnect between her stated position on life, just being inclusive of someone who else has maybe a slightly different view, and her ability to compete. I think she's on her way out largely because of this.
You know, I know we have listeners across the country who come from various parts of the country where they may lean more Democrat, may lean more moderate, but they do care about the pro-life issue, whether it's faith-based, whether it's scientifically based or a combination of both. And I want to hear from you today. If you considered yourself a Democrat, maybe you still even do consider yourself a Democrat and wish your party would change on this issue and adopt a more inclusive approach to abortion, I'd love to hear from you today. Is this the bar to you voting Democrat, their strong support of basically abortion on demand at any time, and as we've seen recently from New York laws and Virginia laws, up until birth, basically, this abortion up until birth movement? I'd love to hear from you today at 1-800-684-3110. If you've tried to be a pro-life Democrat, like the woman who was asking the question to, again, Mayor Pete, which we're going to play for you in just a moment, who said she's been a pro-life Democrat. She said there's millions of us, but we feel totally excluded from the party. You're out there as well, too, I have a feeling. We want to hear from you today. We're not going to judge you on other Democrat policies. It's just about this one issue, which I think is a huge bar to people voting Democrat, even for candidates they may like, because, well, let's listen to Mayor Pete. He tries to sound moderate, but take a listen.
I am a proud pro-life Democrat. So do you want the support of pro-life Democrats, pro-life Democratic voters? There are about 21 million of us. And if so, would you support more moderate platform language in the Democratic Party to ensure that the party of diversity and inclusion really does include everybody?
Question. Well, I respect where you're coming from, and I hope to earn your vote. But I'm not going to try to earn your vote by tricking you. I am pro-choice. And I believe that a woman ought to be able to make that decision.
You know, here's the thing. Mayor Pete did answer the question, which is there space for me? Is it a big tent enough party where you can welcome people like her who are against abortion? And Mayor Pete was pushed on this by Chris Wallace in an interview right away by Tent.
I think that she wasn't saying that you have to change your view. She was saying, is the tent big enough in the Democratic Party that people like her who are against abortion, who are pro-life, are they welcomed into the party if they want to support it?
Here's what I would say. To me, being pro-life means also making sure that children can grow up and be healthy and succeed. It means making sure that there's maternal care. It means making sure that there's nutrition. And if we can agree on that much, then perhaps she can support me. And if not, I respect that.
So again, he kicks the can down the road, and he will not address. Basically, he says, no, there is not room in the party for you to have strong pro-life positions. You would have to accept his view that, yes, we care about nutrition and we care about kids and maternal care, but we're not going to even broach the subject of restrictions on abortions that are common sense and things like that.
It's a non sequitur, Jordan. I mean, first of all, there is a lot of consensus on the things that he talks about, the need to provide those kind of things. In fact, the dollars that were taken away from Planned Parenthood because of their participation in abortion went to a lot of community health clinics that do exactly that, with the wide bipartisan support of both chambers, both sides of the aisle in Congress. So, look, there might be some disagreements on how to meet those needs. And I certainly agree with Mayor Pete that being pro-life includes all of those things. But look, there is a discussion on that. There is not a discussion happening on the Democrat side of the aisle about the rights of a child who is not yet born. There's not a discussion about when that child might be valuable. There's not a discussion about when pain might be felt, even though science tells us that answer, Jordan. This is just a purity line on the Democrat side of the aisle right now that cannot be crossed. And Jordan, this is the sad truth. I don't want this to be the case, because the cause of life suffers when it is the case. But if a Democrat running for office or holding office crosses that purity line right now, 95% of the time, it means they no longer hold office within a couple of cycles.
I mean, James on Facebook wrote in, this is why I left the Democratic Party in 1994. I cannot support a candidate that celebrates abortion. That's what it's become. You know, they have their galas at Planned Parenthood, their pro-abortion galas. Debbie on Facebook said that pro-life Democrats will be voting across the aisle. I have a feeling they've been doing that for a very long time. If it really is their top issue or one of their top two issues, it's tough to cast a ballot for somebody who, you know, supports abortion on demand at any point and for any reason. And then I think this is a pretty good comment that came in from Renesa on Facebook. She said about Mayor Pete, he eloquently says nothing. And so, unlike Bernie Sanders, who comes right out and says, no, it is essential to being a Democrat in 2020. You are pro-abortion. He strongly disagrees. Because I want to play, let's play the Amy Klobuchar sound again. Because that's why we're having this conversation. Amy Klobuchar made it very clear that she's trying to, one, she's very pro-abortion, so I'm not sure how that really fits in with, but she wants to welcome in pro-life voters. I mean, so what are you going to do for those voters, what I would ask as the follow-up to Amy Klobuchar? So what, you want their vote, but what are you going to do for them? What policies would you actually support for them? But here she is in her own words.
Well, first I say this, I am strongly pro-choice. I have always been pro-choice. But I believe we're a big tent party, and there are pro-life Democrats, and they are part of our party. And I think we need to build a big tent. I think we need to bring people in instead of shutting them out. And that also includes independents right here in New Hampshire, as well as moderate Republicans.
You know, here's the issue, Than. What would you do for it? What would you do for this voting bloc if you were able to convince these pro-life Democrats to actually cast a Democrat vote for you, Amy Klobuchar? And basically, you're the only one out there in this remaining field who takes this position. Mayor Bloomberg certainly doesn't. Bernie Sanders does not. Mayor Pete will not answer the question. He has said, I'm strongly pro-life. I'm not going to trick you. So basically, no, I'm not going to do anything for you, pro-life. That's what he was really saying. I hope I can get your vote, but I'm not doing anything for the pro-life cause that you consider important to you. So, Than, you listen to this statement, and I hear from Amy Klobuchar, and she may be sincere, but my question would be is, what would she actually do for these, quote, pro-life Democrats that supposedly exist out there?
Yeah, and the answer, Jordan's nothing. All you have to do is look at her record in the United States Senate. I mean, set aside abortion for just a second, Jordan. Just look at infanticide. There is a bill in the United States Congress right now to outlaw infanticide and say that if a child is born, not in the womb, is born, that child is entitled to care. Senator Klobuchar opposes that bill. That's why I started out my commentary and her comments, Jordan, saying this is a very bad position she's advocating. She is hostile to life in this position that she is advocating. Yeah. And yet, even though she's that hostile, Jordan, I think it is going to be too, quote unquote, moderate, even though it's not moderate at all, too moderate for her to remain viable in this race. Right. I really do.
This statement actually sinks her campaign because she's even welcoming in pro-life Democrats, even though she won't do anything for them. And in fact, she's really just saying, we'll welcome you in for your vote. Now you'll sit down and shut up while we push through radical pro-abortion bills like they're doing in Virginia and they've done in New York. We'll continue to take your phone calls as well. Get those calls in. You're pro-life and you consider yourself a Democrat. How long have you been isolated from the Democrat Party? We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. If you need legal help as well, aclj.org/help.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
Phone calls on this. We have some pro-life Democrats who've called in and trying to figure out, you know, where to be, where they fit now in this political party system that we have, where basically you have a Republican Party that has a very strong pro-life platform and is putting those laws into effect as best they can with a divided Congress and through the courts at the state level, at the federal level. And then you've got a Democrat Party which has strong language supporting and is totally bought off by Planned Parenthood for the most part, especially when you get to the federal level and top state officials who are making policy decisions. Than, I want to go through quickly just what's happened in Virginia. It's just a perfect case example of a state that has switched so quickly from being a red state to a purple state to now basically a blue state. And as you said, decades of pro-life gains have been done away in Virginia in two legislative days. Explain that.
It really is the truth, Jordan. This is on top of the constitutional amendment that you talked about that they're pushing through and is likely to be on a statewide ballot referendum in 2022. Jordan, there are essentially two bills. They were smaller bills initially, but they've been combined into two bills, one originating in the Virginia House, one in the Virginia Senate, that do basically roll back decades of pro-life protections that have been passed, doing that in just a couple of days. The House bill, Jordan, expands who is allowed to perform an abortion in a first trimester. So then again, expanding it beyond the requirements that were previously there medically, that passed out of the House 52-45. And then a Senate bill that does a couple of things. First of all, it removes an ultrasound requirement for a woman who is seeking to get an abortion, as well as removing parental consent requirements. Jordan, you want to talk about making abortions safe. You're going to remove a parental consent for an abortion that's going to be done on a minor, and you're going to refuse to give a woman information about what that procedure is. We know that a woman sees an ultrasound, Jordan, she chooses life almost all of the time because she has the information necessary to make that decision. What's interesting to me there, Jordan, is that passed the Senate 21-20, and you, our listeners will probably recognize this name, Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax has had a few problems of his own in these areas, cast the tie-breaking vote. Those bills are in crossover now, Jordan, so they're being considered by the opposite chamber. But yeah, I think you described it well. Decades of pro-life wins down the chute in just a couple of legislative days in
Virginia. So you don't think elections have consequences, folks, even at the state level? You thought wrong. Your state reps, House of Delegates in Virginia, state Senate, these positions like lieutenant governor casting tie-breaking votes, and Virginia, with all the controversy surrounding those top Democrats there in the executive level there, and yet none of them resigned. I mean, it's pretty unbelievable. And now they're pushing forward this aggressive pro-abortion agenda. But let me go right to the phones. Jennifer in California has been holding on. Jennifer, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just want to say I am so glad that you guys are talking about this.
Yeah.
I think that more Democrats need to start talking about it. I'm a pro-life Democrat, and the Democrats need to get with the program. This is an issue, and it's the height of hypocrisy that Democrats who care for the poor, care for the most vulnerable, the immigrant, they claim, and, you know, a lot of times they do a lot of good. I think a lot of their policies help reduce abortion, actually. But when it comes to the unborn, they lose it, completely lose it. Likewise, I would also like to point out the hypocrisy of Republicans who fight tooth and nail for the unborn, for the right for them to live. And yet it seems to me like the minute they're born, they drop them. You know,
that's not actually the case, Jennifer. I think that is a talking point from Democrats. And I think what you're seeing now from the Trump administration is an empowerment of the organizations, Jennifer. I think this should be good news for you. So I'm not disagreeing with you to disagree, but just to update you. Because of what the Trump administration has done, Than, pro-life pregnancy centers, which work with women if they need to look for adoption, if they need to look for other options other than raising the child themselves, or if they do want to raise the child themselves but need resources, need to figure out what available resources are, federal, state level, I mean, I know you're very involved in this too in your personal life of doing this with adoptions as well. So that is not the case. The pro-life movement has been very open. I was at an event in the middle of the impeachment trial about for pro-life pregnancy centers, raising money for pro-life pregnancy centers, a mobile pro-life pregnancy center. And I was speaking at that event and saying, Jennifer, they were on the front lines, because I agree with you. We can fight and fight to stop abortion, but we have to then take care of those children. And Than, that is being done. It's just the Democrats and the left and the pro-abortion movement wants no one to hear about it.
Yeah, I would say two things. First of all, on the policy point, Jordan, the pro-abortion policies inside Washington, D.C. have been taking money away from those efforts. I mean, Planned Parenthood has been pillaging money from the accounts that were attended to help the children that the caller is talking about, and actually getting Planned Parenthood and the rest of the abortion industry back in sort of the statutory confines that they were intended to be in has freed up those dollars to provide the services that the caller is talking about. So I actually think it's maybe the reverse of what she's suggesting. And I would just tell you on the personal side, Jordan, I won't get into the details, but my family has had the opportunity to see how this works in real life. And there has been a lie perpetuated in our society, Jordan, that some of these children are not wanted, that they're not valuable. And I will just tell you, I have seen conclusive proof in agency after agency after agency that that is just simply not the case. There are lines of families, as long as you can list, waiting to welcome these children. And Jordan, not just perfectly healthy children either. Any child. Every child is valuable and every child is wanted in this country. Yep. And anyone who suggests otherwise does not know what they're talking about.
Yeah, call up adoption agencies and see how long the wait list is. I mean, seriously, that's all you have to do. And again, I mean, that's just a small example of that being able. And it's not that all of these children who go through these pro-life pregnancy centers will be adopted. Some mothers just need help with resources and how am I going to balance my life? And if there's not a man in the picture and someone to help in the picture, a family in the picture to help, and figuring out the programs that are available to them. And that's why it's great that these pro-life pregnancy centers are now able to apply for the funding that's available under Title X. If they meet the requirements, they can now apply. They couldn't do that under the Obama administration. We will take more of your phone calls. We come back second half hour. We got some great calls coming in from a Democrat who says they're pro-choice, but they voted Republican. I mean, so I think that, you know, because to me, I look at the Republican Party, it's much more diverse on this issue. Now, the platform is clear about promoting pro-life issue, but certainly there are, I would say, pretty close to pro-abortion U.S. senators who are Republican right now in the United States Senate who still consider themselves Republican. I can't figure that out on the Democrat side. I can't figure out anybody who would actually consider themselves to be pro-life the way that these Republicans would consider themselves to be pro-abortion. So it makes that opposite case that Democrats always want, that, well, the Democrats are the big tent party. Well, Bernie Sanders is shrinking that tent pretty quickly. But so is Mayor Pete when he won't even answer the woman's question and then won't answer the refined question from Chris Wallace. And yet it's the Republican Party which tent keeps expanding, whether it's African-American voters, Hispanic voters, pro-life voters, pro-choice voters. It just keeps expanding and expanding while the Democrats keep narrowing. We'll continue to take your phone calls on this. We've got updates, too, as well, on a number of ACLJ issues. Call us 1-800-684-3110. Is there room in the Democrat Party for true pro-life voters? 1-800-684-3110. If you're looking for legal help, too, we've got a lot of calls that have been coming in about that. Go to ACLJ.org help. Fill out the form and you'll be contacted by an ACLJ attorney within 24 hours.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
So as we get back into this issue, and you know, I was out under the weather yesterday, so I didn't get to comment fully on the New Hampshire primary results, which were what I expected. The one thing I think was surprising was how close Mayor Pete Klink came to Bernie Sanders. I believe Bernie Sanders would win. I believe Mayor Pete would come in second. I thought Amy Klobuchar would come in third, and that Warren fourth, and Biden had fallen apart. And when he said he was leaving the state, that was it. The voters were not going to show up for him. And then I saw a South Carolina event that night, and it looked pretty weak, to say the least. So I don't think that that's, you know, that's his firewall. It's the fire is burning out very quickly. It could turn to ashes pretty quickly, especially because it's a long time. You got to get through Nevada to get to South Carolina. And Bernie Sanders made it clear. He said, we're going to win Nevada and we're going to win South Carolina. So, I mean, you've got all of that on the table. Then Super Tuesday, the following week after South Carolina, where you've got to be able to play in 10-plus states. But we are getting back to this question because Amy Klobuchar brought it up. Let's play it again. Let's reset the stage for people that there is space in the Democrat Party, surprise, surprise, I guess, for pro-life Democrats. Take a listen.
Well, first I say this, I'm strongly pro-choice. I have always been pro-choice, but I believe we're a big tent party, and there are pro-life Democrats, and they are part of our party, and I think we need to build a big tent. I think we need to bring people in instead of shutting them out, and that also includes independents right here in New Hampshire, as well as moderate Republicans.
That is all nice talking, Than. But then I hear from Bernie Sanders, who is the leader right now for the nomination or party, and he says, well, we'll play it for people, but it's essential to be pro-abortion and a Democrat.
Is there such a thing as a pro-life Democrat in your vision of the party?
I think being pro-choice is an absolutely essential part of being a Democrat. If you're asking me, and I think I may be wrong on this, I think in the Senate, probably 95% of the Democrats are pro-choice. You have a few who are not. In the House, maybe even a higher percentage. So that's kind of what my view is. I think by this time in history, I think when we talk about what a Democrat is, I think being pro-choice is essentially an essential part of that.
Mayor Pete was asked a question. He kicked the can down the road. He would never answer the question directly from a voter who said, I'm a pro-life Democrat. We've played it for you already. And he said, well, I'm not going to trick you. I'm pro-abortion. That was his first answer. Second answer was, he got asked by Chris Wallace, well, that's not really what she was asked. She said, is there any room for you? And he again kicked the can down the road and said, if she's not going to accept my pro-abortion policies, then I probably won't, you know, get her vote. Let me go to Helen. This is interesting. She's a Democrat, voted Republican before, but considers herself pro-choice. Helen, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Helen.
I'm coming from the very horrible blue state of Connecticut.
Yep.
I am now a Republican. I have been for the last two elections.
Okay.
I am pro-choice. However, I'm pro-choice because I think a woman has a right to choose what she does with her body. Yes, she should make the right decisions up front, but things happen, rapes happen. But I don't approve of late-term abortions. Once a doctor has to start counting body parts, that's not an abortion. That's
so
murder.
So you're kind of where, like, mainstream, I'd say, of people who would consider themselves pro-abortion are, which is not where the Democrat Party is, Helen. That's the thing. I think that they've even lost, are starting to lose that group of voters, Than, because they are so extreme in the measures that they support that it's not, again, like the late-term abortion ban Helen would support that was put forward by President Trump. He wasn't saying ban all abortions, he's saying late-term abortions, because we saw that child who was born at 21 weeks and healthy at the State of the Union. They've pushed so far that they oppose those bans, and then they are excluding people like Helen who would vote for them, but she feels like even as being pro-choice, they're going too far in the movement.
Jordan, they're not debating abortion anymore. They're debating infanticide.
Yeah.
And in the United States House, only three oppose infanticide. And I would say this to Senator Sanders. He told the truth about the United States Senate because, Jordan, there's not a single Democrat senator doing what it takes to stop that infanticide.
All right, folks. We come back. We take more of your phone calls. And remember, if you've got legal questions and need legal help, go to aclj.org.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Make this issue up today. Amy Klobuchar brought it to our attention when she said, well, I want to make space for welcome pro-life Democrats into the party. The issue with her statement, we've played it a number of times, not going to play it again, was she didn't say what she would do for them. Like, would they get a seat at the table at the platform committee? Than, I don't think so.
No, the answer is no. I mean, you don't even have to be hostile about this. All you have to do is look at her record. Her record is essentially what the very first line of her statement says. She says, first I say this, I'm strongly pro-choice. That is the most accurate part of her statement that exists. Now, later on, she tries to say, I'll go ahead and take your vote because there is room inside the Democrat Party for pro-choice Democrats, Jordan. But I think that's going to kind of cut both ways on her. I think the second part of that will sink her politically, but it's the first part of her statement that did legitimately say where she stands. Just look at her record. She has 100% ranking from, I think, every abortion rating that's out there, and I believe a zero from every pro-life. I'd have to double check, but if it's not that, it's very, very close to it. Jordan, she's not going to be able to parse that hair politically.
So, I mean, to me, it's like big tent Democrats, what they want to call themselves now. They want to allow pro-life voters in for their vote, but not allow them to have an impact on the party platform or on any policies. They're not going to actually listen to them when it comes to these decisions that come before that the president can make, like Mexico City policy and funding abortion overseas, late-term abortion bans, doing ultrasounds, informed consent, all of this stuff, or challenging Louisiana's Democrat governor, who happens to be pro-life because they want to have ambulatory care standards at abortion clinics, and that's all the way at the U.S. Supreme Court. I mean, all of those issues. Can you really imagine someone like, as Than just described, Amy Klobuchar, saying, yeah, I'm going to actually take that to light. I'm going to implement some of those policies if I get these voters. No. She's trying to get some extra voters, some probably suburban voters who are maybe not as strong on the pro-life issue. But what they don't realize is, as our caller from Connecticut pointed out, it's not even about early-term abortion anymore. It's about late-term abortion. As she said, if you can count the baby's body parts, that's enough for me. And yet these Democrats across the board, they oppose any restrictions on late-term abortion. Let's go back to the phones. First to Lisa in Arizona on line four. Lisa, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Lisa.
Hi, so on so many levels, this is really difficult.
Sure.
You know, there's so many platforms that I stand for that I have been a Democrat for many, many years. And I felt like I was like then on the fence with where my morals and values were when it came to especially late term abortion.
Yeah, I'm
beyond words, though it is hard to even fathom what people are thinking to get to the point of where we are today in society. So about a year ago or so, I did switch parties because I could not be on the fence anymore.
Yeah.
I was like, I cannot stand for what I do not believe in. And my number one is life. And with that being said, I just want you to know that I happen to be a parent of three girls.
Yep.
One who has passed on, who had severe special needs,
yep,
who made it to almost 25 years old.
Wow.
And people do not realize why, you know, they don't understand how every person is valued and what it really truly means. And I just want to say that I wish it were different regarding the parties, but the Democratic Party right now is just, I feel, pushing away people, because it's like, unless you want to be on the fence, you know, you really have to pick one or the other.
Yeah. No, you do. And these issues are very strong, whether it's economics, it's like socialism versus capitalism right now. Abortion, it's abortion up until late term. It's abortion because of, you know, you find out that there's anything wrong with the child, potentially. They're not 100% sure, but potentially. So have the abortion there because there may be some disabilities that they have detected early. May be some. Of course, as you pointed out, one of your daughters who lived 25 years with one of those, I'm sure you cherished those 25 years, even if you were told by doctors it would be months or less, and now the science has progressed even further. So science has been kind of like this double-edged sword. It's told us a lot about the child in the womb, but it's also encouraging these pro-abortion activists to say, see, if you find any deficiencies at all, kill the child right away. Just kill that child right away. They want to use the term a fetus. But then, you know, what my hope would be, honestly, my hope would be is that we got to a point where the science, faith, science, but I think science really dominating because it will show people that this doesn't have to be a partisan issue anymore. That's my 100% goal, is that we're not having to say vote Republican because of this only or vote Democrat because of this only, and that people will be able to make up their minds more politically based off this just one issue. But right now, if you believe it's between life and death, you do have to make the decision that way.
You do, Jordan. And I would first just say to Lisa, we've shared some of those challenges with special challenges in our family, and there's so much value in every life. And I would just tell you that our family is infinitely stronger because of facing those challenges. So I just wanted to say to Lisa, I completely agree with her. But Jordan, I think you're so right to talk about the hope in this, and it really is rooted in the science, because if you look at all of the data as science has progressed and as babies have become viable outside the womb sooner and sooner, and as we have been able to show mothers clearer and clearer what is happening inside their womb, even at a very early age. Jordan, it's not something that has to be forced. When a mother who has a natural instinct to care for the child growing in her sees a picture of that child in her with the clarity that science can show her now, almost every time she chooses life. So it doesn't have to be this political visceral issue that we see now playing out between Senator Klobuchar and Senator Sanders. It really can be as simple as showing a birth mother the way science has advanced and the scientific information that is available to her. And then, Jordan, she will make the correct decision. This does not have to be about pushing people out of a political party. And I will just tell you, 20 years ago when I came to Washington, D.C., there were a lot of pro-life Democrats, and I mean legitimate ones.
Yeah.
This has been an intentional and specific effort on their part to push those pro-life Democrats out.
I think it's been the goal of the industry, the abortion industry, like Planned Parenthood and groups like NARAL, because when it comes to judicial nominees, they wanted to set up the litmus test of Roe versus Wade, and so they wanted to get rid of anybody who would consider themselves a pro-life Democrat. I remember those days, too, where there was significant cross-the-board support for a lot of pro-life issues. Those days are gone right now in Washington, D.C. They do not exist. Now, Than, important to point out, I want you to read the fact. You assumed that Amy Klobuchar likely had these unbelievably great ratings from Planned Parenthood and NARAL, and she does.
Yeah, I pulled it up on VoteSmart right now, Jordan, and both Planned Parenthood Action and NARAL Action give her 100% rating, and then the National Right to Life Committee gives her a 0% rating. So look, you just don't have to look into this. She has a record. It's a deep record, and it underscores the very first line of the statement that she gave us. I'm strongly pro-choice. She'll take your vote if you're a pro-life Democrat, because those do exist among the voters. But Jordan, don't expect her to come to Washington, D.C. and do anything about it, because she's got a track record right that proves that she won't.
She might play you some lip service that she respects your position, and that's about it. That's about all she's going to do. Let's go to Amy in New Jersey on line three. Amy, welcome to JSEC You Alive.
Hi, Amy. No pun intended with the other Amy. Sorry. I'm a registered nurse, and I have, firstly, I don't think you could be pro-life and a Democrat, because their platform doesn't match what we stand for as far, if you want to have, this constitutional rights of to life and you're carrying your gun rights and et cetera, I don't think they really match up to what the traditional Democrat would stand for. It's just gone too far left. And secondly, I did pediatric case management, and I also set up home care services for NICU babies that were preemies. So in my, from as being an RN, there is no really a need to abort the baby, because if you can have a C-section, and there's so much advances that both lives are saved.
Yeah.
And that then thirdly, you talk about waiting lists for adoptive families. Look who has to lose if you have end a lot of this abortion and stop the fertility treatments that these desperate couples are going to. There's a lot of pharmaceutical industry money that is made off of families that are desperate to have a newborn.
Yep.
So, you have to look at what they're also looking at when they want to promote this abortion.
Sure.
They want people to keep going and spending hundreds of thousands of dollars of these injectables and tests that people really don't need, and where they should really be able to adopt a baby.
Yeah, and some states are better than others. And make it easier than others. I understand you want to fully vet parents, obviously. You want to put the children in a safe place. But you would think, with the technology that we have and the information we can gather about people, we can make that process a whole lot quicker for mothers who are willing to give birth to the children and willing to go the adoption route. The parents are there and willing. We know that. And as you said, there's no excuse anymore. Medically, scientifically, you can save the lives of everyone involved. We'll take your phone calls when we get back on JSEC You Alive.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line: we could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today aclj.org.
Yeah, just let our Facebook and Periscope audience know, but we just posted this new meme on graphic on my Facebook page and my dad's Facebook page. It's a quote from Ronald Reagan, former President Reagan. The quote is, "I've noticed that everybody that is for abortion has already been born." I encourage you to share that with your friends and family today as you see it on our social media accounts. Right after the broadcast, I'll get it up on my Twitter account as well. I want to go right to the phones on this, and then I want to get an update from Than, because tied to this very issue is the issue of judicial nominees who ultimately make a lot of the calls when it comes to new abortion regulations or restrictions or anything involving the life issue, speech, all of it, the abortion distortion. But I want to take this call. Ellen in Colorado has been holding on. Ellen, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Hey, Ellen.
I wanted to say that I became a Republican after the first session of President Clinton, and a lot of it was I switched over to the Republican Party because I saw the Democratic platform becoming more and more pro-abortion.
Yeah.
And I just didn't feel right about voting for people who were against what I felt, you know, human life is precious. It doesn't matter. So when I saw that happening, I decided to start going on the Republican platform, which I've pretty much stayed with all these years since the second Clinton go-round. But I have written many times to representatives and given them, you know, my opinion. And one time I got a letter back from my representative that said that she didn't feel the way that I do. And I think that that is a lot of the problem in Washington, D.C. The people who are in already don't really listen to we the people anymore.
No, it's why you've got to decide if you want to mount strong campaigns to remove them from office. I mean, ultimately, there are some who stop listening to their constituents, or they'll say, well, hey, I got 55% of the vote. Then that was, they agree with me on abortion. So if you come from that 45% that maybe didn't vote for me, even though you are one of my constituents, I'll just tell you flat up, I disagree with you, you know, and that's that. But you all have it, dude. You know, every other year, you could change the makeup of the House of Representatives. The Senate is, again, staggered. So every couple of years, you could change the makeup by about 30 senators. So that depends on where you, what state you live in. But in the House, I mean, you have every other year, you can change the makeup of the House of Representatives. And Than, what we are seeing right now in the Senate, I wanted to get to this because it relates directly to this issue of life, is this mega push by Mitch McConnell and Republicans, even in the midst of the impeachment and how long that took. Of course, we were involved in that trial. The rapid pace they are confirming new federal judges. Of course, there's been two Supreme Court justices confirmed, but those you have to wait for vacancies. There's more vacancies on the circuit courts and the district courts. So far, 190 of the president's judicial nominations have been confirmed, but there are more waiting. I think there's 23 waiting right now that could move forward. And just this week, since impeachment, 5 have been confirmed.
Well, if you start right there, Jordan, I mean, look, the Senate continued to confirm judges even while the impeachment trial was moving through the House. I think there was one week where there were 11 confirmations while all the House did was consider impeachment. So you've got to give a lot of credit to Leader McConnell for really focusing on this issue. But you're right, Jordan, included in that 190 total confirmations of federal judges are 51 circuit court judges. That means that one out of every 4 circuit judges in the United States of America has been nominated by this president. And I would just tell you, if you drill down on it just a little bit more, the results are really unbelievable. There have been 3 circuit courts, Jordan, the 2nd, the 3rd, and the 11th. The 2nd, by the way, includes New York, where that abortion legislation has been going through. All 3 of those circuits, Jordan, have flipped control since President Trump took office. And I will tell you, one of the courts, Jordan, that is very close to following suit is the 9th Circuit of all places, where the liberal bastion that it has been for decades and decades. Jordan, that is now within three judges of flipping to control of Republicans. And of the 13 that were nominated by Republicans, Jordan, 10 of them, 10 of the 13 and 10 of the 29 overall were nominated by this president.
Yeah, let me just say, I have so much respect for Senator Mitch McConnell right now. I mean, through that impeachment trial that he was really directing as majority leader, and then now with the judicial nominees, he said this is his motto. He told Fox News, this is his motto for the year. Listen to it, Biden 11.
We will leave no vacancy behind. We'll keep confirming these young men and women to both circuit courts and district courts until the end of next year, for sure. And if the American people give the president another term and we have the Senate, we're going to keep on doing it.
And Thad, this president is on track. It's not there yet, but he's on track to putting the most federal judges, new judges, on the courts in his first term, if it remains at this level.
Yeah, in spite of everything else, Jordan. I mean, in spite of all the time that the Senate had to consume. Yeah, and that's credit to both ends of Pennsylvania Avenue, I would tell you. It's credit to the White House for keeping the pipeline full. It's credit to the Senate Judiciary Committee, currently led by Lindsey Graham, formerly by Chuck Grassley, of getting them through committee. And then credit to Leader McConnell for getting them off the floor. And let me just underscore something that you already said, Jordan, but people need to understand that. People are probably just now catching their breath from the impeachment trial that the Senate spent, 2.5 weeks. Every moment of their floor time was dedicated to this. This week, Jordan, they have already confirmed 5 new federal judges, including the 6th judge that President Trump and this United States Senate have put on the 11th court. Already, since the impeachment trial, 5 more judges confirmed.
It's unbelievable. Now, another issue that is coming to light, I just want to update people on as we're finishing out the broadcast day. The War Powers Act resolution did pass through the House of Representatives, trying to limit the president's power to go into and make choices on military conflict. It looks, Than, like that will pass with some kind of bipartisan coalition in the Senate, but it will not become, this resolution will not become the law, and that is because neither one of these margins, it looks like, will be veto-proof, and the president will likely issue a veto on this.
That's correct, Jordan. It already was not veto-proof in the United States House, 224 votes in favor of it. I think the vote in the United States Senate will be somewhere in the mid-50s for this restrictive language. The president is expected to veto it, and it would not be have a veto-proof margin in either chamber, so nothing changes there. Look, Jordan, I mean, we can have a longer debate on this another day, but there is an Article 1 ability to declare war, but the Article 1 branch has conceded to the executive a lot of these war powers, and look, you have to speak with one voice when you're the commander in chief. And I would just say this, the bottom line takeaway from this debate this week, nothing's going to change. The president's going to veto it and they won't be able to override it.
So just to update people, there's a lot of talk about that today, just so you understand where that is. Just wanted to finish up today, just to remind you where the Democrats stand right now. So February 22nd is the Nevada caucus. Then on February 29th, you have the South Carolina primary. And then you get into Super Tuesday, which is March 3rd. And then following that, it's like a mini Super Tuesday. That's where the Mike Bloombergs are hoping to fall. Does Joe Biden survive? We'll talk about some of this tomorrow on the broadcast. And I want to make it clear today, because we've got a lot of questions have come in. We talked about that FBI agent who was discriminated against because of the Bible verses that they're putting and decorating their workspace. And we got a lot of questions coming in through our radio broadcast about your rights at the workplace, whether you work for the federal government or whether you work for a private company. If you have questions like this, we're here to help at absolutely no cost. Go to aclj.org/help.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.